Right, so your tour's kicking off at the Brunton Theatre this coming Saturday. Anything that's important in that? Anything? What's going to be in the tour?
Well, this is just a short tour. We started our annual tour in Scotland has been August, September for the last, well, this year it'll be 28 years.
Blimmin' heck, that's a long
It's
time.
a long time. And we started to put some a little bit of that August excuse me. We started to put a little bit of that August, September tour into May, just to kind of spread the gigs, take the workload a little bit out of August, September, because it was getting up close to 40 gigs back to back. And we're both getting on a wee bitty,
Yes,
so we're spreading the load a little bit. So this is the third year that we've done a little May stint. So we're doing six gigs, kicking off in Nairn first of all, and then we come down to Musselburgh. And great to play in Musselburgh. I spent a lot of my childhood around here. I was at Portobello High School. And Musselburgh was, used to get brought here on a Friday or Saturday night to get some, was it
St. Luca's ice cream.
St. Luca's ice cream or De Rolo, was that the other one
I
that
think it's De Lo I know, sir, certainly St. Luca, but I think De Rolo is another one.
And there was chocolate pears, I seem to remember as well. It was a big treat they used to bring.
It sounds it, that sounds it. So you've been going for goodness knows how long with your music, like your love of music as well. How did that all start? I mean,
It was all, well, as a professional musician, it's all a mistake. I never intended to be a musician at all. I got a toy accordion when I was three. In fact, Christmas just passed there. It was 50 years since I played. Christmas Day 2013 was 50 years since I played my first squeeze box.
Wow.
And I was always into it, and I seemed to have a knack for picking up instruments and getting a tune out of them. And my parents encouraged it. I enjoyed it. I went to formal lessons. I played classical violin. I played classical accordion in the first instance, then got into folk music a bit. And then after a little altercation at school, I left when I was 16, ostensibly for a year, to let the dust settle. I was going to go back and finish my studies and go to university and become a zoologist. But in the interim, I joined the band, and that is 38 years ago last week.
Wow.
15th of May, 1976.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. That's what I just thought when I said it, but it's been an amazing 38 years. I've loved every minute of it. It's been wide and varied, and it's a great privilege to be able to do a job where you get up and you do what you love, which is playing nice melodies.
Yeah,
and there's any God's amount of them out on the go.
I was going to say it looks as though you make it look easy to play when I see you on the telly. Is it easy to play, or is it?
I think it's easy to play now. I think the accordion is quite an interesting instrument because there's so many elements to it. It's, the Queen asked me two years ago, with a word of a lie, we did a wee gig up at Balmoral for a friend, and it was for the Queen. She wasn't the friend that I'm talking about.
I was going to say, yeah.
No. He sort of set it up. But basically, after the gig, she said, could you tell me about the coordination required to play the accordion? And from outside my own body, I heard myself saying the words, why are you thinking of taking it up? Oh my God, what are you talking about? But it's quite complicated in the first instance, but it's like anything else. Once you get used to it, it's, and it's such a part of me now. I've been playing it for such a long time.
And now the question to ask, one of my station manager is a very, very, very big fan. Are you going to be doing New Year this year?
Well, I'd like to think so. It's what I've done. I've been the MD in that programme for 24 years now. And I don't know what I would do at New Year if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
There's going to come a point where it's going to be time to sit at home with a little plate of shortbread and some black bun and watch somebody else go through the motions. But I love it. I really enjoy it. And it's always a challenge. There's so many people have an opinion of how the Hogmanay show is supposed to be. People in the ages with myself, or say like from 40 years onwards, they want a more traditional style Hogmanay. A lot of people want a very contemporary Hogmanay. We try and mix it up. It's great. When I ever go, I live in South Queensbury, I'm going to the supermarket in South Queensbury after Hogmanay, and there's always a good half a dozen people willing to tell you how it should have been done.
There's always that. There's like, you always meet people like that. You really do. I mean, you look as though you're looking really, really well from what you were saying earlier on about the health kick and stuff.
Yeah.
Because two heart attacks at 37-year-old, that must have been a bit of a shocker.
It was a big shock. It actually happened typically. I quit smoking. I was quite a heavy smoker. I quit smoking in the October 11th of October, and on the 22nd of October I had my first of two heart attacks. Mm-hmm. And the heart attacks were separated by 6 months. But I have genetic heart disease. It's just the way of it. My brother Johnny, he died in New York in 2003, aged 46, mm-hmm. Just dropped dead with a heart attack. He had no indication that he had anything wrong with him. So it's you know, it's just in it's the cards we've been dealt. But when you know, when you take care of these things, it's perfectly feasible that you can live a better and healthier life than you did before you had the heart attack, because mm-hmm. you know that something's up and you can deal with it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, at the gig in Musselburgh, details are still being finalised, but I hope to be presenting a defibrillator to a local sports team.
Okay.
I can't see too much about it, but
no.
All that information is coming to me sometime later this afternoon, and I think I'm going to be a charity that I'm involved with called Lucky to Be Here,
mm-hmm.
and they supply defibrillators to rural communities in the first instance, but put them in places where they could really make a difference if yeah. there was an episode where it was required.
That sounds it. No, the question asked, the last quick question, anything new in the pipeline for yourself?
There's always something new.
I was going to say, yes.
I've got a new documentary series starting with the BBC. Mm-hmm. We're going to start filming that in about a week's time. I'm working, helping on some of the arrangements for the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony.
Uh-huh. Don't tell me you're going to be playing at the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games.
Well, I wouldn't tell you, even if I could. It's all a big secret. There's a lot to be done. I'm just helping out with some of the things that are going on there. I've got a new album in the pipeline, writing a book. The book I should have written when I was 40, when they asked me to write it, but 14 years down the line, plus, you know, what's 14 years between friends?
Well, yeah, exactly.
The book was, well, I was going to call it There's Always Tomorrow, The Life and Times of a Hopeless Procrastinator. And the first line in the book was I meant to write this yesterday.
Well, I look forward to reading that when it comes out, I really do. Phil, it's been a pleasure. Can I just get a wee soundbite out of you? Would that be okay?
You can.
Excellent, wonderful. So if you say something like, I'm Phil Cunningham and I'm listening to East Coast FM 107.6, that'd be all right. I think you remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I'll give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1, on you go. Excellent. Thank you very much. I won't pause with that.
Pause.